Georgia is facing a huge spike in teenage suicide. So far in 2017, more than 20 young people have taken their own lives. Investigators have found no clusters or identifiable trends that might help understand it. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, suicide is the second leading cause of death for Americans 10 to 19 years old. And in Georgia, it's the second leading cause of death for 15 to 17-year-olds. With me now is Tribor Randall. She's Special Agent for the Georgia Bureau of Investigation's Child Fatality Review Unit. Hi, Tribor.
Good morning.
And also with us is Tim Elmore, president of the nonprofit Growing Leaders that hopes to raise awareness about teen mental health. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Good to see you.
So as far as the GBI is concerned, is there enough of a increase in these in teenage suicides to see this as a concern? Or is it a blip? That sounds horrible, but is it sort of an understandable that this number goes up and down?
Well, obviously, any preventable death of a child is a concern for us. But going from last year, 2016, of the cases reported to us, we were at 35. And that was for children ages 0 to 17, which is the area of review for the state child fatality review panel. So certainly looking at 2 months that went past, most recently in April and May, and we saw 8 cases come into the morgue, that was alarming for us enough that we wanted to start a new prevention push and raise awareness so that parents and caregivers would know that this is happening, because you don't really see it covered in the media.
So, Tim, how effective are our efforts to prevent teenage suicide? Suicide of any kind is a problem in the United States. But do we know how to prevent it when we put in the resources and the time?
Yeah, I think there's definitely efforts going on. We partner with about 8,000 schools, and we see great efforts to confront cyberbullying and some of the things that would lead to suicide. But I think there are factors that are well beyond anyone's feel of control. For instance, I think social media is a big factor. You see a direct parallel between the introduction of social media platforms and the rise of angst and depression among teens. And you can say it's a coincidence, but it's just too close to... And now, most parents would go, but what can I do about that? So I do think there's great programs going on, but I don't know if there's enough going on that we're actually helping the teens navigate their sense of self-control over their lives.
Speaking in bullying, in 2014, Massachusetts teen Conrad Ray took his life. His girlfriend, Michelle Carter, was recently found guilty of pushing him to do that using text messages. This is hard to listen to. That's a warning. This is a clip of Conrad speaking on his computer just weeks before he took his life.
What I am doing is I'm looking at myself so negatively. Looking at myself, minuscule little particle on the face of this earth. It's no good. Trash. Will never be successful. Never have a wife. Never have kids. Never learn. But I have a lot to offer someone. I'm introverted, nice and caring. That's some benefits. I'm a nice kid, but it's just, comes to a point where I'm just too nice.
Tribor, is there any way to figure out what's causing the rise in teenagers taking their life? And is there a possibility that it's because of social media?
Well, two things I would like to point out. One of the reasons that we at the state level have gotten away from the caption of teen suicide prevention, it's youth suicide prevention, because now we have children as young as ages 9 and 10. Secondly, we know that kids in Georgia did not just start thinking about suicide. They've been voicing suicidal ideations. This has been happening in Georgia. I feel that the awareness was not there. Parents were not aware of what the signs were that other moms and dads and loved ones were experiencing loss of children as young as 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Tim, what are the signs? If I'm a parent, what am I looking for? Especially if I can't look at my kid's Facebook or Instagram page.
Yeah, I think some of the first signs we're finding is just withdrawal. They tend to not be talking at all. How was the day? Fine. You know, there's minimal conversation. Some of the things we've been tracking is the rise in screen time and then the lowering of face-to-face time, even among kids with friends. So I think withdrawal is a huge, huge factor that parents can tune into and say, wait a minute. And then I think we need to start having conversations where we say, if you were to describe your day as light or dark, when do the dark times come? What are you doing? And I think sometimes we get tip-offs. I even had this conversation with my own kids, neither one of them committed suicide, but I was able to tune into what was going on in their day and how they were feeling about it along the way.
But that's not every parent is successful in getting their kid to talk.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have a teenage son. He says, if I ask him how his day was, he says, fine.
Yeah, of
course. But he's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you know the difference?
Well, I think sometimes you have to know what you've got in front of you personality-wise. You've got to play chess, not checkers. Every chess piece is different. So with my son, if we were doing something together, not just chatting over a burrito, but doing something, boys were much more apt to open up because we're preoccupied building something or whatever. And with females, it might be different. So I think you've got to tune into your child and know what works.
So I want to play this clip for you, Trebor. It is from the Netflix show, 13 Reasons Why. It brought up a lot of conversations about this. So let's hear the clip first.
You see all these don't kill yourself posters up on the wall? They weren't up before. They put them up because she killed herself. And why did she do it? Because the kids here treated her like shit.
Jensen, that's enough.
But no one wants to admit it, so they paint over the bathrooms and put up a memorial because that's the kind of school that this is. Everyone is just so nice until they drive you to kill yourself. And sooner or later, the truth will come out.
So here's part of the debate over that series. Some people said by focusing this attention on it and talking about it in such detail, you were actually encouraging other kids to think about suicide. And other people said we just don't talk about it enough. Where do you fall on that debate?
So that's an excellent point once again. In reference to the series, it's something we need to talk about because everyone's afraid to talk about it. Having watched the series and a lot of inquiries coming to our office asking us if we have any data to support that this has somewhat sensationalized this issue, and we do not have any data to support that any of these numbers increase as a result of the series. What I will tell you is that we were thankful that for whatever reason this was brought into the national spotlight, that it is in the spotlight. This is the time to talk candidly. Each family is different. I encourage parents to actually watch the series with their child. The kids are going to watch it, to be quite honest with you, probably, especially the young adults and teenagers. Watch it with them. Have a dialogue. To Tim's point, kids don't talk to their parents. They talk to other kids, as you will find in this series. If a parent asks children, like the young man who was one of the main characters, you know, how are things? I'm good. I'm fine. But our first lady of the state of Georgia, very brilliant, Mrs. Deal, mentioned to us that if we wanted to have our kids dialogue back with us, don't just do the cookie cutter. How was your day? Ask them about their friends. Well, how was your friend's surgery? I heard your friend broke her ankle. Or how is he doing on the football team? And it opens up a whole new world. They will talk with you, but they're not going to necessarily tell you what's going on. When I talk with parents whose kids have killed themselves, they will tell us all the time that they had no idea their child was in such a dark place, and they feel responsible.
How, this is slightly tangential, but how do you sustain your job? I mean, your whole job is looking at, I think, preventable deaths of children, right?
That's correct. You know, I tell people all the time when they say, well, isn't it depressing? What I tell you is that it's reality. We want to understand why our kids in Georgia die, and they die at higher numbers than our neighbors. Our report card is not very well. We focus on preventable deaths of children. Those are the areas that we feel like we can make a difference in when it comes to preventable deaths. And of course, there's a debate about the prevention when it comes to suicide. But however, if we can raise awareness and one parent can recognize the warning signs that we're discussing here, kids, as he mentioned, who are withdrawn, kids who sleep a lot more, sleep in general, that's typically not what a teenager or a young child does. If they start, you know, giving away items, all the same things that you've heard, but parents and caregivers and educators who we partner with now, we think will pay attention because we have now put this out there in front of everybody and aired our dirty laundry in Georgia that our kids are taking their lives. 20 kids this year, as young as 9 years old, decided they no longer wanted to live.
Yeah. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Trebor Randall with the GBI's Child Fatality Review Unit and also Tim Elmore, president of the nonprofit Growing Leaders. So Tim, let's go back to this debate over whether talking about suicide in mm-hmm. detail encourages teens to take their lives or actually helps the problem. What do you think?
I think when 13 Reasons Why came out, I think the producers had a good goal in mind, that it would start conversations. Unfortunately, I think it's done both good and bad. There are two families in California that would say, my child committed suicide because they got the idea on how to do it from that last episode of the program. So I think both have happened. I started tracking this trend a little over a decade ago nationwide. I don't know that parents in America know how much stress that the kids are feeling, even if it's just perception. For instance,
even if it's just the kid's perception, in other words,
exactly.
to an adult who deals with real world problems, it may seem like
that's
teenage
right.
angst.
Just suck it up. Come on, you need to grow up. Well, the American College Health Association came up with some data in 2007. 94% of university students in America say the number one word they use to describe their life is the word overwhelmed. 44%, or almost half, would say, I'm so overwhelmed, it's difficult to function. And nearly 1 in 10 had thought about suicide in the last year. Those are two high numbers for me. I'm thinking, are we even aware that the onslaught of information and the parenting styles we've adopted, I think parents are way too prescriptive sometimes. We've overfunctioned and not let coping skills be built in our kids. So we
haven't let them fail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very often. I realize there's both extremes here, abundance and abandonment, but I think there's just a perfect storm of elements that have led to this feeling of stress and angst that maybe we need to lead them better in our homes.
So then let me go back to you, Trebor. What we were talking a lot about what parents can do, but as a state, do we need more? How do we invest efficiently and effectively to prevent young people from taking their lives?
Our most effective resource outside of the home is going to be our schools and our educators. Our children spend more time, obviously, with the schools, educators, caregivers, than they do with many of us. That's just the way things are with athletics and sports. That's where they are the majority of their day. So if we're teaching them how to recognize the signs, if we're letting our school systems know that it's okay to talk to our kids as young as middle school, because again, with the CDC's Youth Risk Behavior Survey, they have already shown that our kids in middle school are already voicing suicidal ideation. Mm. So if we wait until high school, it's much too late. We're talking about suicides that have been completed when I tell you the number is 20. When I tell you that last year, over 1,000 kids came into our ERs that had either attempted or voiced suicidal ideations, that is a number we should be alarmed at. It should be a wake-up call, not to sensationalize, but for a show such as this where we have parents and professionals and caregivers listening. Make the referrals. Know the signs. Yeah. Don't ignore this.
Right.
You need to be able to refer the child to get help.
That is Trebor Randall of the GBI's Child Fatality Review Unit and Tim Elmore of the nonprofit Growing Leaders. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.